This is a podcast from WOR.
You never heard a radio show like this before. Following in the footsteps of his father and grandfather, Taxi Dave drove a taxi in New York City for many years. In fact, he was born in the front seat of a yellow cab. Join us for an hour of informative discussion with the only person in America to have hosted the Today Show one time. He's knowledgeable, he's witty, and he wrote this. The only one of his kind, and presented by Melrose Credit Union, this is the Taxi Dave Show.
Who's behind this conspiracy? Once again, ask the question, who has the most to gain? People in high places, their names would astound you. People in low places, concealing their activities. People in all walks of life, left wing and right wing, students and scholars. A conspiracy of such ominous proportion that we will never, never know the whole story.
It's Sunday night, and this is the place to be. This is the Taxi Dave Show, and I'm Taxi Dave. We missed you last week. We were preempted by a very important, very well-publicized Mets game. It was publicized so well and so important that I didn't know about it until after Sunday. I know that I had said that we were expecting a special guest, the lead attorney on the lawsuits going on regarding the apps in New York City and the yellow taxi industry in New York City. And I just like to say that next Sunday, rather than have a brief discussion today, we will have a long discussion next week with lead attorney on the state and federal lawsuits against the city of New York. Todd Higgins will be on the show next week. A little later in the show, we'll have Mark Albert on this week. If you're injured in an accident, he is the guy to go to. He is. He's the guy. You'll hear why a little later in the show. It was opening day Friday for the Mets. Congratulations. They won 7-1. Opening day at Yankee Stadium for the Yankees, who lost 5-3. And that night there was a Rangers game. It's baseball season, so I went to a hockey game. And yes, and on the way home, I realized something horrible about the Helix. When you come out of the Lincoln Tunnel into New Jersey and you start to go up the Helix, something built for three lanes, they made four lanes out of. And when there's a bus in your right lane and the bus driver has a little difficulty keeping it in a narrow lane, he hits your car. That's what happens. It's an accident waiting to happen. I mean, I avoided the accident, but I'm looking at these lanes, and, you know, you need four Volkswagens can fit very nicely in those lanes. But it's definitely not, you know, lanes for trucks and buses and SUVs. Boy, I almost blew that one, huh? So, you know, Port Authority, I don't know what you can do. I mean, I know they're spending millions of dollars to renew the Helix. They've heard my cries. They do now have lines. Now I understand why they didn't have lines, and I complained about it. They didn't have lines because you can't have four lanes of cars there. It's that simple. I wanted to start the show. We're going to, a little later, we'll get into recalls and the utilities digging up the streets without permits and pedestrian deaths being up and more bike lanes that are coming and the city council bills and, you know, banking. If you get your medallion back, what you need to do. But before I get into that, I got an interesting email. We're going to just talk a little bit about enforcement against illegal street hails. This email is, I'm a yellow taxi driver, and a few minutes ago at Chelsea Piers, I witnessed the driver of a black car yell out with his window rolled down to a potential passenger that he would take them anywhere in New York City for $35. Where is the taxi enforcement? This has become very excessive to the point that the general public actually believes and accepts that street hails apply to any vehicle, whether they have TLC plates or not. I was unable to take pictures. I had a passenger that the yellow cabs need assistance. Also on 15th Street and 9th Avenue and 8th Avenue, Uber drivers are parking at a nearby club, exit their vehicle, solicit passengers. I approached the drivers, told them they're breaking the TLC rules and have some respect. And I stated, if everyone followed the rules, there's enough business for everyone. If you want to pick up passengers next time, go back to yellow. I also told them, the next time I see Uber cars in this area, I will start taking pictures and reporting all illegal activities. By the way, send your pictures to Taxi Dave at TaxiHellAOL.com. I will send them to the right authorities. Time, date, location, and license plates. To all Uber drivers who follow the rules and app services, enough is enough. I'm still reading this email. They're also picking up LaGuardia between Terminal C and B. They have the ability to solicit passengers before they line up for the taxis. This causes a domino effect, which gives the public an inaccurate impression that yellow cabs are unavailable during busy times. Where is the help in the city? And I read the email for a number of reasons. First, there was something in the newspaper this week. Dan Rivoli wrote that the Taxi and Limousine Commission actually had written 2,825 tickets between the start of 2015 and through March 4th for illegal street hails, and Uber bases are among the worst offenders for illegal street pickups. An Uber driver said, sometimes Uber doesn't give you enough jobs, and the city council did do some voting this week on some bills. Just to let you know, once again, in case you haven't heard, the city council unanimously, it was either like 48 zip or, 47 to 1 or something like that on most of the bills. And this bill calls for the first time you are caught picking up an illegal street hail, instead of a $500 summons, penalty, fine, you will get a $2,000 fine, or at least that's what the penalty is. Instead, if you do it a second time, within 2 years, the fine is $4,000. If you do it a third time within 10 years, yes, Abe, you were right, within 10 years, the fine is $10,000. All right. So, that said, an advocate for the green cars who's been on this radio show, Nancy Soria, said they pick up in front of yellow, they pick up in front of green, they don't care. Said Nancy Soria, green cab driver and advocate with Green Taxis of New York, they just pick up in front of you. And that rule applies to all illegal street hails below 96th Street and at the airports. And it's interesting that it doesn't apply to the outer boroughs. Now, to that end, I got another email. It was actually a phone call from Jackie Diamond, and she works near Bryant Park, and she wanted me to know, she said, Taxi Dave, you got to hear this. I walked out of my office one day, and I saw two NYPD police officers with two Uber cars pulled over, and I observed, and they were getting tickets for picking up illegal street hails. She said the next day, outside my office near Bryant Park, I watched as people were hailing yellow cabs and Uber cars went to pick them up, and the police were there and started writing them summonses. 2 days in a row, they were given tickets. So it looks like Police Commissioner Bratton is keeping his word to me. He's keeping his word to Taxi Dave. He said he would look into an illegal street hail unit. Again, if it's not a unit, the word is certainly out there, because I'm starting to get reports about NYPD finally enforcing the illegal street hail rules and laws. My phone number here is 800-321-0710. That's 800-321-0710. And my email address is taxihail@aol.com, taxihail@aol.com. So Port Authority, fix those lanes. I don't know what you have to do. I really don't know. But if you're going to invest money, invest it the right way and make it safe. There's no room for buses and trucks and cars to ride next to each other in those lanes. They are accidents waiting to happen. If anyone's interested, there are still no 2016 Taxis of Tomorrow on the road. The wonderful Taxi of Tomorrow, Nissan NV200 2016, now that we are in April, is still not available in an accessible model. I should stress, the wheelchair accessible model is not available. Don't know why. Also, April 21st, don't forget, there is a Taxi and Limousine Commission public meeting and public hearing. And we already have a couple of calls. So let's take Frank. You're live on Taxi Dave.
Dave?
Yes, sir.
Dave? Hi. I dropped people off at the cargo area, American Airlines, LaGuardia Airport. The woman has a walker and the young, tall young man with her. I'm dropping them off. I had to get out of the bus stop because it's right where the taxis are loading to get passengers at the American terminal. So I got into the bus stop, and the bus beeped his horn, so I moved out of the bus stop, and I stopped, but some guy in a car off the curb wants to back off the curb, and I'm in his way. But these people are already getting out, so I worry about the people. And
right, I'm confused. So where were you stopped to let the woman in a walker out, or you couldn't stop? Was that the problem?
The problem is, yes, that as far as he was concerned, because he ran over and said, are you telling me what to do? So I said, wait a minute. I needed him to wait a minute rather than try to move his car. That makes for an accident-prone situation. I was worried about my safety and the people's safety. So he comes running out with his medallion. He's got a big chain and a round medallion, maybe TSA. And he starts yelling at me, are you telling me what to do, Dave? So what I did, I stepped back, Dave, because he's stepping into me. I stepped back, and, you know, if I step forward, we're going to have to dance. But, so I stepped back, and then he didn't go anywhere because he knows he's assaulting me. And so then I looked at him, and I said, I'm learning. Like, okay, I'm in his way. I don't mean to be in his way. So he starts smiling. He walks away. And I'm able to unload my passengers and get out of there as quickly as I can. But you know, who knew? I mean, I'm 43 years on the job. Who knew we couldn't let people off near the cargo area, American Terminal, the loading area for the taxis? This guy needed to go to cargo, the cargo area with his, I think, probably his mother. And it really got intimidating and frightening that this guy comes running at me, not really knowing what to say. Are you telling me what to do?
Well, you know, sometimes you get into situations where there are other drivers who are in a hurry to go nowhere, you know, hurry up and wait. That happens all the time. It happened to me today, actually. I was in a bank parking lot, and similar only because of the impatience of other drivers. And I look both ways. I'm making a left. Still inside the parking lot, I make a left, and I might drive 100 feet, and this guy behind me was floored when he saw me make the left. And now he's on my right behind me tailgating, honking his horn, and he was going to Stop and Shop. So it's like, yeah, man, you made a left turn. You're gonna make me 10 seconds later to go to Stop and Shop. What the hell's the matter with you? You know, who knows? You know, maybe the guy's wife didn't make him breakfast that morning. The guy worked for the TSA, you know, and you were kind enough to get out of the way of the bus. You know, you give everybody the benefit of a doubt, and you know that after 43 years. But American Airlines JFK Cargo, if you have a passenger,
LaGuardia Airport. Dave, that was LaGuardia.
Oh, LaGuardia, not JFK. LaGuardia. Okay.
The postage-stamp-sized airport.
How's the situation there with Uber cars at LaGuardia?
LaGuardia, I'm hardly ever at LaGuardia, Dave. I'm always at Kennedy. I was going from Kennedy to LaGuardia.
Oh, okay. You're an airport jumper.
Well, it's less rides, less to the MTA.
Do you find Uber cars or unlicensed vehicles, hustlers, do you see it when you're at the airport?
Well,
I'm not talking about the past. I'm talking about recently.
Well, you always see Terminal 5 getting congested. They're always slowing down the cabs trying to get to Terminal 5 at JFK. There's always a bottleneck. You got to go through Terminal 4. You go through Terminal 4. If you watch your phone app for the map, you see a big red line going to Terminal 5. Go to Terminal 4, and you skip on the big delay trying to get to Terminal 5. That's all I
tell. What would you tell people who travel to JFK Airport? What's the best way to get there, the safest way, the best way to get back, in your opinion?
Well, Dave, I'll avoid traffic jams. I like to enjoy my ride. So if it's a flip, if it's a fixed rate, I can go out of my way and enjoy avoiding the traffic jam. So if I can, I'll do that. You go, but of course, you watch the traffic app. There's a lot of traffic.
So if there's a lot of traffic, like where the Van Wyck meets the Grand Central, how do you go?
Rockaway Boulevard to Woodhaven, to Cross Bay to Woodhaven. Try to get to the Long Island Expressway that way. In the morning, if I see a Long Island Expressway backed up, I'll get off Van Wyck and take Queens Boulevard straight across to the Long Island Expressway. That's synchronized lights, 25 to 30 miles an hour. Everybody is up at 30, Dave. What did President Nixon say? You got to go at the speed everybody else is going at.
What's your opinion? What kind of vehicle do you drive?
I drive a Highlander.
Gasoline Highlander?
Yes, four-cylinder, front-wheel drive.
Well, sounds like a nice car.
Oh, yeah, I've been working.
Let me ask you something. How does a woman in a walker get into a Highlander?
Dave, you can be 4 foot four and just slide right in. It's not very high.
Oh, okay.
If you're 4 foot two, you might want to complain. One time, in 3.5 years, I had a little woman complain to me. This car is too high. That's why I don't like getting in these cars. You know, the little woman wants to rule the world, and you don't want to feel small when you want to rule the world.
And would you say, and how many miles do you have on it so far?
I have about 285,000.
Any problems?
Use 93, Dave. Keep the throttle body clean so that you don't lose the transmission.
Use high test.
I use high test. And don't let somebody else change the transmission oil, because you don't have a dipstick. I don't have a dipstick to check to see if they're putting in the right amount of oil in the transmission. So I lost my transmission for the first time.
Somebody changed out to help you find your transmission. Don't worry about it. Okay.
School of hard knocks.
Thanks a lot for calling the Taxi Dave Show. You know, we just got an email from someone. I was talking about the wheelchair accessible vehicle NV200 taxis of tomorrow. This is from Eli from Brooklyn. The Nissan NV200 is a piece of blank, flimsy with skinny tires, should not be the official cab of NYC. Thank you so much, Eli, for that email. And you can email me too at taxihale@aol.com. We'll read it over the air if you're a good boy and don't put any curses in it. But that was interesting. Here's another email. This is, hi, Taxi Dave. Last night a vehicle backed into my car. I stepped out of my vehicle to inspect if there was any damage. During the inspection, the vehicle sped off and ran the red light in front of me. I was very surprised and was unable to capture the license plate of the vehicle. Thank goodness that there was no damage found. Please raise awareness for the best practices. Okay, and awareness when there's an accident. You know, I think we'll ask, Mark Albert, our guest, who will be on the line in a little while, what you should do if there's an accident, what you should do if you're injured in an accident, if you don't think you have damage, if you have damage, if a turkey flies into your car. Yes, I, Taxi Dave, well, you know I've been through everything, folks. I've had my car fall off a lift at Pep Boys. It all happens to Taxi Dave, and I might have mentioned this on the air 2 weeks ago. I was on my way to work, and out of the corner of my eye, I see this big thing flying towards my car, and a flying turkey hit my car. You can't make this stuff up. I have a nice little dent, and to prove it, for 2 days, I didn't wash my car because there were feathers stuck in my window. Okay. And oh, gosh. Let's take... Tom, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hello, Dave. How are you doing, Tom, this evening?
All right. Have you ever had a flying turkey hit your car, Tom?
Unfortunately, not. I had a lot of other things hit my car, but never a turkey.
No, yeah, like what?
Oh, Jesus. I tell you, I had a flying cat one time.
I won't ask.
Unfortunately, I had a guy, he must have had too much to drink. He went flying right over my hood. And stood right up and kept walking. You know?
Oh, good man.
And I also had a young lady and her boyfriend got into an argument, and he threw her over the hood of my car. And he took a walk, and I had to lift her off the car. Fortunately enough, she was all right. You know, she got on her high heels.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. What brings you to the Taxi Dave show tonight, Tom?
Oh, Dave, I was reading in the papers with the MTA and their overtime schedule. Everybody is on overtime. All the workers are making double and triple their salaries, an average-based salary. The fella in the MTA, whether he's a platform man or an engineer, they're averaging between $80,000 and $150,000 a year. And some of them jobs, the base pay is $60,000. The lowest income is $80,000, and they're earning as high as $185,000 to $200,000. I think the fact is that that is why we got to contribute 50 cents off the meter so that they can keep this extreme cost going. There's no reason why they can't hire more people and cut this major cost out. It doesn't make sense. And meantime, the poor taxi driver has no pension. He has no medical. He's just hardworking, trying to survive. And that 50 cents should go back to the driver in compensation of health insurance and a pension. That's what we should do with that 50 cents. That would be the fairest thing that could exist. So I think we should step forward and try to advocate that throughout the industry and get some representation from wherever, Albany, City Hall. But something should be done for these poor fellows that drive these cars for 30, 40, 50 years, and they have no health insurance, and they do not have a pension. And these other characters that are working for the government are sitting fat, because when they make the 180 and their pension comes up, they get half of that 180,000, the highest years of earned salary. So there's definitely something wrong here with this whole structure. I want to see
so
that.
So the MTA is claiming they need it's $26 billion to go on with all their plans for construction. By the way, our phone number is 800-321-0710. Email taxihail at AOL. This is the Taxi Dave Show, brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. Okay, all the best things in banking are at Melrose Credit Union. And Tom brings up a good point about abuses. You know, I think I mentioned the Department of Transportation. Last year, their top earner, base salary was $82,000, and he pulled in almost $260,000 totally. $260,000 Department of Transportation. And out of the 68 city workers, these are city workers who earn more than $100,000. In overtime alone, 32 were employed by the New York City Department of Transportation. Now, Tom talks about the MTA. Did it mention how many people are making over $100,000 in overtime, Tom?
Oh, yes. It was a great percentage. I just can't recall over my head, but it was very, very high. It was enough to disturb me.
We forgive you, because we know how old you are.
Thank you, Dave.
You're my favorite octogenarian. And
thank
for those
you,
of
Dave,
you who
I
don't know what an octogenarian is, too bad. Okay.
I'm gonna get out my dictionary and get the true saying. I've heard the statement before made to me, but I don't know if it's a fact, you know?
So here we have all these agencies. You know, agencies and MTA, I don't know if you can call it an agency. You know, the governor puts people on the board. The mayor is supposed to have one person on the board, that's Polly Trottenberg, who's the head of the Department of Transportation. Hey, here's the irony in that, huh? You know, you have too many people making over 100,000 in overtime. Oops. So do you. How about that? You know, and you're right, taxi drivers don't make overtime. Oh, yeah, there's a dollar surcharge during rush hour. But, yeah, maybe yellow cabs should be able to surcharge just like app companies can. You know, and I think that's one of the rules that's being discussed. Or there was an intro introduced. And part of the intro in Albany, I believe, says in New York City, if the chairperson of the taxi commission agrees at certain times, there can be an surge pricing for yellow cabs. Isn't that an interesting thought? Very interesting thought. And before we go to a break, let me just read a couple of recalls. Tom, thanks for calling the Taxi Dave Show. Appreciate it.
right, thank you, Dave.
Okay. And our number here is 800-321-0710. We are going to take a break, and then we're going to come back with Mark Alpert. Anything you want to know about accidents, car accidents, injuries, if you're driving, okay, even the email I got, you know, you get hit, somebody backs into you, what should you do? We're going to speak to Mark about that because he is an expert in that field. But I'm going to talk about a couple of recalls. About 15,000 Chryslers, 2015 and 2016 Jeep Grand Cherokees and Dodge Durangos. The left front caliper may crack due to being made of an incorrect material. And a cracked brake caliper lengthens the distance to stop the vehicle. And you know what that means. So Chrysler has not yet provided a notification schedule, but that recall will be coming to a certain 2015 and 16 Jeep Grand Cherokee and Dodge Durango owners, and 91,000 Volkswagens, okay, 2014, 2013, 2012 Passats, TDI engines. I almost bought one of those. Those are the diesel engines that get like 40 miles to a gallon. 2012, 2013, 2014 Passats, certain Passats, I should say, due to an improper assembly, wire seals in a connector for the underbody sensor, water may enter and corrode the electrical connectors of the sensor, causing an electrical short. And as everybody knows, an electrical short increases the risk of a fire. Volkswagen also has not yet provided a notification schedule. So all these things are coming out. And then there's 6,200 General Motors 2014 to 2016 Caprice police pursuit vehicles. Not only for the police officers driving them now, but a lot of every village, every town, every city sells their used police cars to private people. So if you own a 2014, 15, or 16 Caprice police pursuit vehicle, corrosion on the connector between the electric powered steering module and the torque sensor will cause or may cause a loss of electric power to the steering. And, you know, if steering is lost, that certainly is an increase of a crash, or power steering is lost. So GM has not yet provided a notification schedule. So there you go, 1491, so over, well over 100,000 recalls on the Taxi Dave Show. You're not going to hear this anywhere else, folks. When we come back, we'll speak with Mark Alpert, who is a unique attorney. And everything and anything you wanted to know about what you need to do if you're injured in an accident, this is the time to call in. This is the time to listen to the Taxi Dave Show. We're sponsored by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. And we'll be right back.
If the relationship that you have with your bank is the third teller from the left, then maybe it's time to rethink your relationships. At Melrose Credit Union, they believe you should get much more from a banking relationship. That's why they provide their members with a business services specialist, a dedicated individual who takes the time to get to know you and who is responsible for handling every single interaction you have with the credit union. So you can continue to wait for teller number three or head over to Melrose Credit Union. They look forward to getting to know you.
If an insurance company is located at 3601 43rd Avenue in Long Island City, New York, Hereford has served the for-hire industry for over 20 years. We are very proud to meet your commercial auto, workers' compensation, and fire, theft, and collision needs. Please visit our website for additional information at HerefordInsurance.com, www.HerefordInsurance.com, or contact us at 718-361-9191. Hereford Insurance, we help move New York. My father drove a yellow cab with Neil Greenbaum's father, Andy, who was the founder of All Taxi Management. FHV drivers, you can drive a yellow cab if you join the All Taxi family. Drive yellow and earn green. All Taxi Management is located at 4125 36th Street in Long Island City, and that's conveniently located near the 7 train. All Taxi is a leader in taxi leasing run by third-generation taxi experts. And for no money down, you can own a new 2016 hybrid or a great used vehicle. Whether you want to drive full-time, a day shift, or night shift, work with the folks who have a great reputation. All Taxi Management, 718-361-0055. Pearland Brokerage is one of New York's oldest and largest insurance brokers, specializing in all forms of TLC insurance. They represent many insurance companies for black cars, luxury and car service vehicles, medallion taxis, and green cabs, so you can be assured that you will get competitive pricing. You can get your TLC required liability insurance as well as fire, theft, collision, and workers' compensation coverage. Pearland can also help you with your personal and other commercial insurance. For your convenience, Pearland has 6 offices located throughout the city. To find their locations and hours of operation, visit their website at pearlandbrokerage.com. For all of your insurance needs, go to Pearland. Taxi Dave Show is back. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Boy, we have dedicated listeners. Henry, thank you for the email. It was a daily news article that Tom, the caller, was talking about. 400 workers made overtime money, which surpassed their regular salaries. 400 workers. The top overtime guy was a guy by the name of Joe Rizzo. He made $332,000 above his salary of $101,000. That's the top guy. Altogether, last year, overtime for the MTA, $876 million. Almost $1 billion it closing in on for overtime for the MTA. You know? Yeah, they need 50 cents on each cab ride, Tom, like a hole in the head. They need an efficiency expert to come in and start taking care of business, because they're not taking care of business. What could I tell you? And also before the break, that soul sacrifice, that was for happy birthday to Lily from Harold. Just figured we'd stick that in there. Yeah, we take music requests. What could I tell you? We do everything. A lot of people can't avoid a fender bender. I know when that happens, you hear the noise, you feel the vibration, you get shaken up. You may forget, you'll lose your poise. Gee, you know, forget all about registrations, insurance, license, looking at license plates, calling the police. Who knows what's right, what's wrong? Well, I feel okay. Maybe I shouldn't call an ambulance. There are a lot of things you need to know, but I don't know the right thing to do, and that's why you need to call Mark Albert. And Mark Albert is an attorney. He's made, he's had some pretty large decisions, in court cases for people who were hurt and deserved money for their injury. But I'm gonna let him, tell you about it right now. Mark, welcome to the Taxi Dave Show.
Dave, thanks for having me on. Pleasure to be on the show.
Why don't you tell our people a little bit about your practice and about your successes first?
Sure, Dave. I've been doing nothing but significant personal injury and medical malpractice cases for the entirety of my 20-year career. I started out litigating cases nationally with a very prominent firm by the name of Seeger Weiss, and I tried cases all over the country, very serious accident cases and medical malpractice cases, wrongful death cases. And about 5 years ago, I opened my own firm with offices in Astoria in Queens and Manhattan and also in Long Island. And I have continued the practice that I have started out about 20 years ago, doing nothing but representing people who have been seriously injured as a result of the fault of another.
And on your website, you have some big settlements there, huh?
Thank you for noticing that, Dave. Yes, you know, I'm proud of that. And really, I think the thing I'm most proud of is when you get involved with these cases, you're representing people, real people that have had their lives, in many cases, torn apart as a result of an accident. And you get to know these people over the course of the case. You guide them through the process. And at the end of the case, when you're successful, and thank God I've had quite a bit of success in my career, as you noted, it's a terrific feeling, helping these people, helping them get back on their feet, and ultimately being able to compensate them significantly for the injuries that they've suffered.
All right, we're speaking with Mark Albert. You would be an expert in personal injury law for a car accident. So if I'm a driver, taxi driver, black car driver, just a driver, and something happens, they call them accidents because they're not on purpose, why don't you tell our audience, what is the right procedure? What should people do?
You know, Dave, it's an interesting question because accidents, as you said, I think when you introduced me, it's a period of time when both drivers are shaken up. It's a very stressful situation. A lot of times the driver or both drivers are injured and they're in pain. But unfortunately, it's a period where you really need to take a number of steps within that first half hour to hour period, because a lot of the most important evidence in a car accident case happens or is developed in that first hour period of time. And so the first thing I really would like to tell your listeners is that probably the most important piece of evidence in any of these cases is the police accident report. You should call the police if you're a driver that has been involved in an accident, and what you must do is get your point across to that police officer. 99% of the time, these police officers didn't witness the accident. They're coming after the fact. And so the way that they develop their opinions and what they put on that piece of paper that we call a police report is what they hear from the drivers. That's when you need to be on your A game. You need to get your point across. You need to tell them your version of the accident. You can't let the other driver do all the talking. And you need to make sure that that police officer knows your version of the event, so it gets down on that piece of paper, because it's an important piece of evidence that that ultimately is is critical in the case.
You know, it's interesting because I had a cab driver come into me this past week who's been driving for about 30 years. He was in the Times Square area, and one of those double-decker tourist buses pulled out and hit him. And he didn't move his car. And when the police came, he got out of his car, and he said the police were so verbally abusive to him and said, "Get back in your car. This is your fault. And we'll take your statement after we get statements from people on the bus." I mean, how do you deal with something like that, A, if you're in the middle of the street, and B, if you don't have an opportunity to give your side of the story, at least initially?
It's a difficult situation, and I'll tell you, I've represented taxi drivers my whole career, and unfortunately, there are police officers out there that have a negative connotation towards taxi drivers. They don't want to listen to anything you have to say. And, you know, with police officers like that, there's really not a whole lot that you can do to sway what they're going to write in that report. What you need to do is listen to them. The last thing you want to do is get argumentative with them. You get back in your car after they've spoken with the witnesses or spoken with the driver of the other vehicle. They ultimately will speak with you, and in a respectful way, you want to give you a version of the event.
Well,
the worst-case scenario
is... That's good
is,
advice, because this cab driver... After he was verbally abused, he said, "I have to tell you, I thought they had it in for me." When they came back finally, they said, "The witnesses says it wasn't your fault."
Right. So I think that's, you know, it's important to keep your wits about you. If you don't feel the police officer is being fair, the last thing you want to do is get argumentative, because that's just going to make things worse. At the end of the day, the police accident report is one piece of evidence. There's going to be testimony from both drivers, and the evidence is going to show what it's going to show. If you take photographs at the scene, which is another thing I think is very important, take photographs of your vehicle, which will show where the impacts occurred between the two vehicles. Take photographs, if you're able, of the scene of the accident. Don't move your car. If you take a photograph of where the accident occurred before you move the car, that can provide very important information about where with respect to the lanes it happened, where with respect to the intersection the accident happened. And this is all stuff that your attorney is going to want to see and can use to your benefit in the case.
You see, if you carry around a smartphone that has a camera, I don't even know if they sell throwaway cameras anymore, but if you have a smartphone with a camera, you not only can take pictures of illegal street hails with license plates, dates, time, and location, but you can take pictures in the event you need it in case there's an accident before you move your car, if you listen to the expert, Mark Alpert, right?
That's right, Dave. Thank you. And you know what? Things have certainly changed over time. Right now, everybody's got a smartphone. Everybody's got a camera at their disposal. And, you know, a lot of times, those pictures are critical in the cases that we handle. You know, the one other thing that I really wanted to bring to the attention of your listeners that you were smart enough to bring up in introducing me is not being too proud, not being the tough guy. And if you need medical treatment, if you're injured, the last thing you want to do is tell the police officer to send the ambulance away. You know, this is a time where, first of all, your health is the most important thing. Forgetting a case, your health, you got to get checked out. If you're injured, if you feel pain, you got to go to a hospital, you got to take the ambulance, and you got to get checked out. And beyond the importance of getting yourself checked out and getting medical attention is, in the course of these cases, it's important to be able to show that you were in pain and that you were injured at the accident scene. The very first question the other lawyer is going to ask you if you don't go to the hospital, if you don't take the ambulance, is, well, Mr. So-and-so, if you were so badly injured, why didn't you seek medical attention? Why didn't you go to the ambulance? And then that's the question you need to be able to answer.
And I've heard people saying, I had to get my kids out of school, didn't feel that bad that day, but the next day or 2 days later, man, was I in pain, but I had to pick up, you know, my kids. And then that question is asked in court, right?
You know, that's absolutely true. And look, obviously there are situations where you have obligations, family obligations or otherwise, that you just can't seek medical attention. You can't go in the ambulance. But if that's the case, if you have to pick up a child or you have to be somewhere where you cannot take the ambulance, then just go to either a hospital or go to your medical provider, you know, within the first 24 hours of the accident. You know, another smart thing you said, Dave, is that a lot of times these injuries get a lot worse within the 24 to 48 hour period following the accident, especially injuries to the spine, the neck, the back. A lot of times you don't feel it too much at the accident scene or in the hours following the accident, and you wake up the next day and you feel like you got hit by a truck. So,
All right, you convinced me. How do I contact you if I have an accident?
Well, there's a bunch of different ways. You can call me. My main number is 347-472-5080. You can always email me. My email is mAlbert, A-L-B-E-R-T, at msainjurylaw.com. And then my website is www.msainjurylaw.com.
One more time for the contact info, because some people were driving and are probably pulling over right now. So just give it to us one more time, please.
You got it, Dave. Phone is 347-472-5080. The email is mAlbert, A-L-B-E-R-T, at msainjurylaw, spelled out, .com. And the website is www.msainjurylaw.com. And let me just say, all consultations in these types of cases, drivers, are there's no payment required. They're completely free consultations.
So, what is the most interesting case with a taxi that you ever had?
You know, I've had a number of cases where police officers have been biased against taxi drivers, and they've written reports
really?
That just didn't make sense. Oh, absolutely. You see it all the time. You know, there was one case where a taxi driver had a red light, had a stop sign, rather. The vehicle that had the right-of-way was doing about 80 miles an hour. The taxi driver stopped at the stop sign, looked to his right, didn't see a car coming, proceeded through the intersection. When this car came 80 miles an hour through the intersection and barreled right into them. The police officer wrote the accident report up strictly as being the fault of the taxi driver, and the taxi driver suffered life-changing type injuries. As a result of the depositions that we took in the case and the trial that we conducted in the case, the jury awarded $1.5 million for the taxi driver for his injuries. And, you know, those types of successes show you that, you know, it's not always what the police officer writes. It's the evidence. It's the testimony. And in that case, you know, it was a matter of showing that the significance of the impact showed that the driver was far exceeding the speed limit.
I want you, one more time, the phone number.
Dave, it's 347-472-5080, and I want to thank you very much for having me on. I listen to you all the time, and you're terrific, and thanks for having me on the show.
Mark Albert, ladies and gentlemen, if you're injured in any type of car accident, give him a call. He is the guy. Thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you.
Let's see. We have a few emails. First, let me read one from Avnet. 55th Street, there's no left turn on Broadway, no turn on 7th Avenue. Drivers need to go all the way to 9th Avenue. The sign doesn't even look like a real Department of Transportation sign, but all taxis and TLC vehicles get tickets all over the city. There are potholes and there's construction sites blocking traffic. Please ask the city to fix the roads. Thank you, Avner. I won't give his last name. Peace and love. Peace and love to you too, Avner. Thanks for listening to the Taxi Dave Show. When we come back, I'll read some more of your emails and we'll talk a little bit about some other issues that affect everybody. So stay tuned for more of the Taxi Dave Show, brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here.
If the relationship that you have with your bank is the third teller from the left, then maybe it's time to rethink your relationships. At Melrose Credit Union, they believe you should get much more from a banking relationship. That's why they provide their members with a business services specialist, a dedicated individual who takes the time to get to know you and who is responsible for handling every single interaction you have with the credit union. So you can continue to wait for teller number 3 or head over to Melrose Credit Union. They look forward to getting to know you.
If an insurance company is located at 3601 43rd Avenue in Long Island City, New York, Hereford has served the for-hire industry for over 20 years. We are very proud to meet your commercial auto, workers' compensation, and fire, theft, and collision needs. Please visit our website for additional information at HerefordInsurance.com, www.HerefordInsurance.com, or contact us at 718-361-9191. Hereford Insurance, we help move New York. My father drove a yellow cab with Neil Greenbaum's father, Andy, who was the founder of All Taxi Management. FHV drivers, you can drive a yellow cab if you join the All Taxi family. Drive yellow and earn green. All Taxi Management is located at 4125 36th Street in Long Island City, and that's conveniently located near the 7 train. All Taxi is a leader in taxi leasing run by third-generation taxi experts. And for no money down, you can own a new 2016 hybrid or a great used vehicle. Whether you want to drive full-time, a day shift, or night shift, work with the folks who have a great reputation. All Taxi Management, 718-361-0055. Furlan Brokerage is one of New York's oldest and largest insurance brokers, specializing in all forms of TLC insurance. They represent many insurance companies for black cars, luxury and car service vehicles, medallion taxis, and green cabs, so you can be assured that you will get competitive pricing. You can get your TLC required liability insurance as well as fire, theft, collision, and workers' compensation coverage. Pearland can also help you with your personal and other commercial insurance. For your convenience, Pearland has 6 offices located throughout the city. To find their locations and hours of operation, visit their website at pearlandbrokerage.com. For all of your insurance needs, go to Pearland.
Me and my uncle went riding down South Colorado, West Texas bound. We stopped over in Santa Fe. That's in the fall, just about halfway. Hey, you know it was the hottest part of the day.
Taxi Dave is back. And we're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. You know, the city issued about 4,000 summonses last year, the year before, to Con Ed, Keyspan, for digging up the streets illegally. Even though Con Edison said that they purchased more than 60,000 permits each year to comply with requirements, the fact is that the Department of Transportation shares lists of the soon to be repaved areas with major utility companies, and they rarely fix the underground equipment in a proactive way. They wait till something breaks. So you'll see that's why when you see brand new repaved streets, and a week later, you see Con Edison ripping up the streets, and then what happens ultimately is when they repave it, it's never the same. You know, it's like an oxymoron. It's a new street, but you can't drive over it. There's too many potholes. You know, they're permanently damaged, and it's really a safety issue. So I remember when Gridlock Sam was on, and he said he would arrest utility workers illegally closing streets like 58th Street near 3rd Avenue and near Park Avenue, you know, between 9 and 5 on a weekday. Are you out of your mind? That's what would happen. These people just don't care. Well, New York City, it's a major problem. And maybe that's another reason why there's so much traffic besides putting up signs and no left turns just to pigeonhole drivers into getting summonses. Here's an email about from Mitch. There's plenty of wheelchair accessible taxi cabs in New York City. There are no taxi shortages in New York City, and those few 1,200 wheelchair accessible cabs rarely pick up any people in wheelchairs anyway. New York City does not need that many, the 6,000 wheelchair accessible cabs. However, if 6,000 cabs were Tesla electric powered cabs, that would make a huge difference in the air quality in New York City. Thanks, Mitch, for that email. Appreciate it. Also, the city's planning more bike lanes on Bruckner Boulevard. That's the Bronx, near the Pulaski Bridge. Actually, on the Pulaski Bridge when they rebuild it. You know, that connects Greenpoint and Long Island City. And also, new bike lanes on Amsterdam Avenue and 2nd Avenue are going to begin soon. But, you know, a lot of the delivery truck drivers, they rely on double parking just to get through the day on a New York City street, and when you have bike lanes, you take away the option of delivery trucks double parking because there's no parking anywhere. You have 3 cars worth of parking on each block instead of 20. So, let's see. If DOT would spend the same amount of money, time, resources, and infrastructure on providing parking for trucks necessary to move our economy as they do bikes, we would have safer streets. And that's Ken Thorpe, the CEO and chairman of the New York Trucking and Delivery Association. Contrary to popular belief, he said, most trucking companies spend a significant amount of time and money in an attempt to have their vehicles parked legally and safely. I saw a tractor trailer in Queens literally park 4 blocks away, and the driver was also the guy who opened the back of a tractor trailer, had a hand truck, pulled the stuff out, closed it, the rear of the truck, and walked it 4 blocks each way back and forth because of a bike lane. He couldn't park anywhere. You know, I know our locksmith listeners are really upset about that in Manhattan because their customers can't even park, let alone truckers. So that's a big problem. What else do we have here? Okay. What to do with the city council bills. Well, I gave you the biggest one, the most important one. But if you are leasing your medallion or were leasing your medallion, and, you know, it's no secret in New York City, the amount of money you were getting to lease your medallion has dropped significantly. In fact, a lot of the drivers don't want to drive wheelchair accessible vehicles. They really should because the new ones aren't as bad as the first ones. But there's this thing in your head, oh, I want a hybrid, I want a hybrid. Well, you know, a hybrid is one thing, but making money for a living is another thing. And driving a wheelchair-accessible cab isn't a bad thing. It's a good thing on a number of levels. But let's say you got your medallion back because your leasing agent said, well, you know, your medallion's a wheelchair-accessible medallion, and I really won't be able to get a driver for you. So here it is back, and you decide to roll up your sleeves, buy a car, and start driving it yourself. I've had a lot of people come into the office recently who wanted to change the bank account where the credit card money goes. You can only do that if you own the medallion and you're driving that medallion, okay? So there's actually, you know, you have to call the existing banks, a credit card company, and then when you do call, you will need your bank or credit union's routing number and your account number as well. So there are instructions for changing your bank account. You know, I know everybody who's insured at Member Brokerage Service in the Melrose Building, you know, gets that service done. We've been doing it. We have a great staff. For those of you who know a Karen and a Lenny, you know, they're great at what they do. We have a great claims department with Yvonne and Lori. We also do commercial insurance. We do general insurance. And Melrose does commercial loans and business loans, you know, business loans, commercial loans, mortgages. And you'll be very surprised at the difference between working with Melrose and working with a bank. Okay, it's like day and night. We want your business. Anyway, for those Mets fans, the next time I will be off the air because of a Mets game is Sunday, May 29th. And then I'm cool. I'm cool until towards the end of the season. In fact, the last game, pretty much the last game of the season, I think, is questionable because it's out west at 1 o'clock, so we're not sure. But last year I got bombarded. This year it's not bad. I want to thank Mark Albert for being on the show. Next week, be sure to listen to the lead attorney, okay, in the lawsuits, Todd Higgins. He'll be on next week on the Taxi Dave Show. Thank you, all you listeners, for making us the number one talker. Thank you, all you callers. I love you all. And guess where I'm going? Hey, taxi, take me up to Albany. And one other thing, folks. Listen, don't drink and drive. Take a cab.
This is a podcast from WOR.